I'm sure most of you all here this morning, if not all, have heard of the Trinitarian Bible Society. And you had our brother, I think it was Reverend Dennison, was here a couple of weeks ago doing a deputation meeting at the midweek prayer meeting. The TBS do a sterling job in getting the Word of God into the hands of people all around the world. And as I thought of the TBS and the work they do and many other good Bible societies that are faithful to God and to God's work, as I thought of them, I thought it a good opportunity for us to look together at what the Bible has to say about its own power, about the Bible's power to transform the lives of sinners around us even today. After all, the ministry of the TBS to faithfully place the life-changing scriptures into the hands of people who need it most is a ministry to which each and every one of us who are Christians this morning are called to do also. And it's worth our while to be reminded of what God himself says about his faithfulness to work mightily through his own word. This chapter we've read together contains several parables in which the Lord Jesus teaches about the spread of his kingdom. In three of them, he uses a very familiar picture, that of a man sowing seeds. He tells us in verse 14, the sower soweth the word. So these parables teach us about how the spread of the kingdom of God is accomplished through the sowing of his word upon this earth. That is how God's work, God's church, is built up, by the sowing of the word, whether through the preached word or the read word or the spoken word. The first parable he told about here was how the soil makes all the difference as to what the seed will produce. We read that there in verse 3. He says there, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell in stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Another fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he that have ears to hear, let him hear. Most of us are familiar with that parable. He tells the disciples later that the first type of soil is unproductive because the devil comes along and he snatches away the word before it can sink in and change anyone's heart. He says the second type of soil is too shallow for the word to sink in and endure those times of trial or temptation that comes into the lives of those people. The third type, he said, is representative of the type of soil in which the word is choked out by the cares and worries of this life. And only the fourth type of soil is fruitful. And notice that the goal of the sowing is fruitfulness. He talks about 30, 60, and even up to 100 times what was sown. So this first parable, we might say, is about the responsibility of the hearer of God's word to receive it and allow it to do its work so that the word that was sown is fruitful. Now jump ahead to the third parable. It's found in verses 30 to 32. And it tells us about how powerfully potent this seed, the word of God, really is. Even though the spread of it in this world has small beginnings, it has power to permeate the whole world. In verse 30, and he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, small beginnings, which, when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up, becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the earth may lodge under the shadow of it. These are important parables. They teach us important truths about how our Lord's kingdom would be spread throughout this world. And they show us how important the faithful proclamation of God's word is to the spread of that kingdom, because the sower soweth the word. So this morning I asked we give our attention to the parable that stands in the middle of these other two about sowing the seed. Just as the first one teaches us about the importance of receiving the word rightly, and just as the third one testifies to the power, the potency of the spread of the word in this world. The second parable is also about the word. It has to do with our responsibility, your responsibility and my responsibility to faithfully spread that word with confidence in God's sovereignty to work through it. So you want to consider verses 29 to 26 this morning. And he said, "So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come." You know, we live in exciting times. In a sense, there's never been a greater availability of God's word to the unbelieving people in this world. You think about it, there's never been greater means to get the word of God out into the world today. You think of the internet. You think of sermon audio. You think of Let the Bible Speak, and how even we think of the land of Nepal and the great blessing revival that we've seen in the land of Nepal through the work of Let the Bible Speak. You think of sermon audios and the millions upon millions of sermons that are downloaded even from that site. You think of the internet. You can find God's word on the internet. Internet's everywhere, World Wide Web. So these are exciting times in that sense. The word of God is readily available in that sense. But they're also very challenging times. And I think of one of the most challenging things we face today is a lack of confidence in the power of God's word on the part of his own people. We're being told by the so-called church experts that if you truly want to reach the lost people, the unchurched people in this culture, in the world today, we need to do so by avoiding using the scriptures. They say that hearing from the Bible turns people off. First of all, they can't understand it. It's too difficult. So that's why we have so many different translations. Because they can't understand it for a start. But they say if you want to truly reach people, you have to step into their world with them. You have to adopt their ways. You have to speak their language. You have to show respect for them. You have to gain the opportunities to speak to them, to reason with them from a common ground. They'll hear you if you enter into some rational conversation with them on their level. But if you start quoting scripture, well, you'll not get anywhere with them. Sadly, that's what we're told. And of course, I believe that we would all agree we need to get amongst the lost people. We need to get as close to them as it is profitable to be, to invite them out to church, to share the good news with them. But the content of our reasoning must have its basis on the clear revelation of God. We must start with God's word. We must not set God's word aside in reaching them. That would be disastrous. In fact, it would be disobedient. Because Paul tells us, he told Timothy, he says, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom." Preach the word. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap on themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." So why are so many professing Christians tempted to set God's word aside in reaching the unreached, in reaching sinners? Well, there are many reasons we could say, but I suspect that one of the main reasons is that when we proclaim God's word, we don't tend to see immediate results. Often what we see is exactly what the so-called experts warn us of. People are turned off by it. When the Bible is quoted, the lost, they're not interested. They don't want to hear it. They might listen to religious talk. They might listen to philosophy. But no one is saved by religion or philosophy. Paul tells us faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And no one will be saved unless it's by the word of God. Whether it's the read word, the spoken word, the preached word. And that's why this morning's passage is so important. It teaches us there's a process involved in the kingdom of God being spread through the sowing of the seed of God's word. And that takes work. That takes time. That takes patience. But the promise of this passage is that God sovereignly works to grow his kingdom through the faithful sowing of his word. And if we're faithful to study God's word, if we're faithful to teach it, if we're faithful to preach it, we can be confident that God will faithfully bless his word to the fruitful spread of his kingdom. So let's look at this passage a little closer and see some of it, what it teaches about the spread of Christ's kingdom through the scriptures. The title of my message, it simply is The Sown Word. The Sown Word. Now, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but as we read those, it wasn't the task of the sower to grow the crop. Rather, it is the work of God to grow the crop. The sower only had two tasks: sow the seed and harvest the fruit. Notice firstly the placing of the seed. The placing of the seed. This is the first task of the sower. Verse 26, the Lord said, "So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground." Notice that it wasn't philosophy that was sown here. It wasn't reason, it wasn't cultural identification, it wasn't social improvement, or any of those things that are so often we're told that we must sow in order to reach the lost in the world. But what absolutely needs to be sown is the word of God, as contained in the scriptures, because as Christ said in verse 14, the sower soweth the word. I can't stress the importance of that enough. We sow the word of God. Not our own imaginations, not our own thoughts, but the word. If you want to see a harvest for the gospel, if you want to see the spread of Christ's kingdom, then we have to plant that which will result in a fruitful harvest. And only God's word will result in a fruitful harvest. That's the only thing we're told will bring forth a bountiful harvest. If we want to reap that harvest that God wants us to reap, we must sow God's word. Notice the kind of action that's involved in this sowing. The word translated cast there literally means to throw. It means to scatter. And the picture here of the Lord uses is a familiar one. It would have been familiar to the people he was speaking this parable to, because they would have often seen a man walking along in his field with a bag full of seeds, and at his side they would have watched him as he walked along, as he scattered the seed this side and that side, and he threw it indiscriminately across his field, scattered it, threw it into his field. He didn't do it as we often do in our gardens today. Kneel down, dig a hole, carefully plant the seed in just the right spot and cover it up and put a stick in the ground and hang your little bag of seeds on it so you remember what you've planted. The sower doesn't do that. The sower just walks along, scatters the seed left, right and center all around him. And I suggest to you this morning, that's what we ought to be doing as God's people. We ought to be putting God's word out to people indiscriminately. We should scatter it. We should be putting it into our conversation. We should be writing it in our notes, in our letters. We should be posting it on our workplace walls. We should be giving away copies of the scriptures to whoever will take them and leaving for those who even don't want it. We should be leaving gospel tracts for people to read, whether in a cafe or on the bus, wherever it may be. Make it your habit to scatter the word. Make it your habit to throw out the word of God into this world all around you. That's what casting or scattering means. Notice the sower sows the word by scattering it on the ground. He threw it in the place where he wanted to see growth. In the previous parable, we spoke of how the different soils, the hard, the stony, the cluttered, some were clear. But the sower didn't concern himself with the soil. He sowed it all around him, wherever it fell. He just sowed it. That was his job. And again, I suggest to you, that's what we ought to be doing. It's scattering in the place where it needs to be most sown. Again, you think of our brothers and sisters in the TBS. Just think of what would happen if all they did was to bring boxes of Bibles to churches. And that's all they did. Well, that would certainly make things easier for them, wouldn't it? Just bring boxes of Bibles to churches. They wouldn't meet any resistance in doing that. But they wouldn't have much of a harvest either, because that's not where the sowing needs to happen. They're translating the Bible. They're sending it all across the world, reaching the unchurched, the unreached. They take the word of God to places where it isn't currently being read. into the crossroads of life so that people who don't currently have the Word of God can read it, can hear it. And so we should be doing the same. Scattering the good seed of the Word in the field of this world so that it bears fruit out there where the lost are. Those who don't always come into church. That's a first important part of the sower's work. Faithfully sowing the Word of God. And that's where a lot of Christians get discouraged. Because once they've sown the Word of God, they immediately stop acting like good sowers because they think that now they themselves must make that seed grow. But notice here what the Lord tells us happens next. He says in verse 27, "The sower sows and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how." We've seen the placing of the seed. Notice, secondly, the performance of the seed. The performance of the seed. It's not the responsibility of the sower to make the seed grow. The farmers know here what that's like. You go out and sow your crops, but you can't make them grow. You're relying upon God to send the sunshine, to send the rain, to make it grow. And so the same thing is true of you and me. Our job is not to make the seed of God's word grow. Our job is just to faithfully scatter that seed. And it's God's job to give the growth to the seed as he sees fit. Remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3? He wrote about this to the people in Corinth. He spoke of himself and Apollos. Remember there was the argument about who was the most effective worker, Paul or Apollos. Some thought Paul was more effective. Others thought Apollos was more effective. But Paul told them, neither Apollos nor himself should get the credit for the fruit that God's word had borne among them. He said in verse 5, "Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man." He said, "I have planted, Apollos water, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." We should never worry about the success of the word when we faithfully sow it. That's not our concern. That's not our responsibility this morning. We're not called to be successful. We're called to be faithful. Our task is simply to spread the word of God. And we can just be like the sower who, after he has sown, read here in verse 27, simply goes about life. He goes to sleep. He rises up day after day, just going through his daily routine. He doesn't rush out into the field every hour to dig into the earth to check is there any growth. He trusts God to give the growth in his time. And we can be confident. We can be confident that God in his time is able to sovereignly work through his word to bring his desired purpose. We can trust his promise that he gave us about his word in Isaiah 55 and 11. "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." He promises to stand behind his word, and we can be confident that he will stand behind it sovereignly if we are faithful to sow it. How will he stand behind it? How does he cause it to bring forth fruit in people's lives? And I appreciate here what the Lord said about the sower, that he trusted that the seed would grow. He knoweth not how. I read there in verse 27. I'm sure you're like me. You're increasingly amazed at how God works through his word and how people are brought to saving faith through a verse of scripture. So little exposure to the word of God. You think of maybe testimonies you've heard of people who grew up in church or maybe didn't even grow up in church. Maybe were sent along to a little Bible club or a children's meeting when they were children. And that was their only exposure to the word of God. And then many years later, maybe 20, 30, 40 years later, something they learned when they were a small child, the Lord used that to bring them to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That seed, that little seed that some faithful Sunday school teacher, some faithful children's worker sowed, God caused it to grow and later to bring them unto salvation. So be encouraged. If you're involved in children's work here, Sunday school, children's meetings, youth fellowship, wherever it may be, Be encouraged. Your work is not in vain. You don't know what the Lord will do through your labours. You might think, I'm doing a small thing. But never think like that. Remember, God can use that small thing, and God can bring it into something mighty for His glory. You know, thinking of the TBS, and remember Dr. David Allen, who used to do the deputation work, and I remember him speaking one time, and he told of how a man in Turkey was out one day, and he found a second-hand bookstall, and there happened to be a Bible in Turkey, Islamic country, and he found this Bible, and he bought it, he took it home, he started to read it, and he was gloriously converted. He didn't know one other Christian. He didn't even know there were any other Christians in the whole world. He had no internet, no access to the outside world. But he was gloriously saved. And that man was a Christian on his own. I think he said he was a Christian for 10 years before he met another Christian. Before he knew there was another Christian in the whole world. See how God used his word to bring that man to saving faith. And across this world today, this countless, only eternity will reveal what God has done through his word. Countless souls in glory that will testify of a verse of scripture they read or heard or something that God used to bring them to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The performance, it's up to God. John 3:8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, now hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You and I can't understand the marvellous ways of God in bringing people to new life in Christ through the sowing of his word. We ourselves do not know how. We don't know how. But we can be absolutely confident that growth will come in God's time and in his way by his sovereign hand. Now that's one aspect of the passive part of our work in sowing the word. Once we've faithfully sown it, we trust God to sovereignly bring forth the growth. Another aspect of that passive part of our work involves the waiting for the growth to come. And this again, I suspect, is where a lot of Christians fail in their trust in God's word. They don't see immediately positive results, and sometimes that's discouraging. We have to be honest. It can be discouraging. Sometimes instead of growth, we see opposition. We see objection. And the sowing of the seed seems to have accomplished nothing. We're like the sower who scatters the seed and we stand there a few minutes watching for the seed to grow in your garden, and then we stomp off in frustration because nothing immediately comes from it. Notice thirdly, the patience. The patience needed to wait on growth. We read there, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear. After that, the full corn in the year, verse 28. The first thing to notice is that how he says the earth bringeth forth fruit or yields crops, that is, of herself. The word in the original language is a word you'll recognize immediately. It's the word automato, automatic, by itself, in its own time, in its own way, without any help from us, without our aid, without the sower having to do anything else. The ground in which the seed has been cast yields forth a fruit, a crop. Now, of course, you and I have something to do with the process, mostly by being sure we don't hinder it. That's the last thing you want to do. If you go out and sow your garden or sow crops, the last thing you want to do is go and hinder the growth. Paul, one of the greatest gospel sowers of all time, he said in 1 Corinthians 9:12, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. And you and I must be certain that we don't hinder the growth. As you go and sow the seed all around you, well, you must be mindful you don't hinder it. Maybe by your attitude. Maybe by how you live your life. Maybe as you come to church, yes, you might look the part, but as you live your life out in the world, in the workplace, among your neighbours, maybe your testimony is not what it should be. Maybe you hinder the growth by how you live. Maybe you could be hypocritical in things you do. We have to be careful. We do not hinder. We do anything to hinder the growth. As we sow the seed, we can't be hindering it. Once we've sown the seed, we shouldn't just stand there, tapping our feet, checking our watches, waiting impatiently for something to happen. Our doing so won't make it grow any faster. Rather, the soil on which we have cast the seed bears fruit by itself, we're told. We need to recognize that such growth involves a process, and that process involves patience on our part. The seed doesn't grow overnight. The farmers will tell you that. You have to wait. First, a tiny blade begins to appear in the ground. Then in time, the blade grows, a tiny sprout of grain begins to show itself. And then if we just wait, the stalk of grain grows and develops into a full head of corn. We have to take it as it comes. We can't have it happen according to our schedule, and sometimes we're like that, aren't we? We're impatient people in all avenues of life. And especially in the world in which we live, it's such a fast-paced world. Businesses expect results straight away, and sometimes we get that mindset in the church, has to happen straight away. But we have to take it as God chooses to give the growth. He has plans for growth that we don't know about. He has started that process in someone's heart that we know nothing of. That seed you planted maybe 5-10 years ago, the Lord's working in that person. The Lord will bring that person to saving faith in his time. And we cannot hurry things along. And sadly, many churches seek to hurry things along and bring forth an emotional reaction, emotional profession. We could call it genetically altered fruit. It's not the real thing. False profession. So we don't want that in this church. We don't want false professions. We want true fruit. James says in James 5 and 12, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman or the farmer waited for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain." Fruit that comes according to God's schedule, in his time, in his way, and as a result of his particular work in the lives of each individual upon which the seed is sown, that is fruit that lasts. And that's what we want, genuine fruit. So then between the sowing and the harvesting, the sower is passive. We sit back in a sense, we trust God. We trust God to do his work. We have patience. We look to God for the performance, for the seed to grow. And that brings us to our last point. Notice the promise of the harvest. Verse 29. Notice how Jesus describes the work of the sower. "But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come." Because the harvest is come. The harvest doesn't come until the grain ripens. But when the grain ripens, we're told the sower puts in his sickle immediately, ready to harvest the crop. Now it may be that when we sow the word faithfully in this world, and God causes it to take root in someone and bear fruit, that he'll give someone else the task of harvesting that work. We may not always be the recipients of the harvest. We might sow the seed, but we may not be the recipients of the harvest. It may even be that we were there to help to water it, like Paul spoke of Apollos, just there to water it. But it may be someone else reaps the rewards of our work. But you know, we shouldn't be jealous about that. We should rejoice in that. And it may be the case that we reap the rewards of someone else's work. Maybe someone in this church. Maybe someone who's passed on into glory. And their faithful labours in this church will one day bring forth fruit. Some saint of God who's gone on. Maybe further down the line, their work will bring forth a harvest. And we'll see the rewards of their work. Because you and I can trust God to work sovereignly through his word faithfully, because we know that he gives the growth in his due time, we should use our time of patience waiting by sharpening our sickle, so that when the grain is ripe, we can immediately put the sickle in and reap. Because the Lord has promised a harvest. The Lord said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." There will be a harvest. We have the assurance that not one for whom Christ died will be lost, but rather they will all be gathered into his eternal storehouse. There will be a bountiful harvest. So, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, don't ever doubt the power of God's word. No matter what other people may be saying today, do not be afraid or do not hesitate in any way of simply sharing God's word with the people of this world. Scatter it. Throw it out everywhere all around you. Indiscriminately, generously, Make sure you preach the word in season and out of season. Then after you do so, trust God to sovereignly work through his word in his own time. Be confident that he is using what he has sown in the lives of some. Be patient. Be patient with the process. And while you wait, keep your sickle sharpened and ready, knowing the harvest will eventually come when the grain is ripe. So then let's be busy, dear church. Let's keep on toiling. Let's keep on serving. Let's keep on sharing. Let's keep on sowing, knowing that your labor in the Lord is never in vain. May God bless his word, even to our hearts this morning, and encourage us as we continue to serve him, continue to sow the seed of his word. Power of God, power of God's word, the greatest power we have as his people.